Hi everyone, my name is Maduka Adara and this is Life from Lagos, Nigeria, and it is my turn on top 26 on this and that. Enjoy listening. So I'll be going over the questions, I'll be calling out the questions and also responding to them. So the first one says, do you think the world will make any progress if technology didn't exist? Well, if you really deep it, then I don't think it would have made, okay, there would be a great difference, but there would be progress. I don't think the world will be stagnant if technology wasn't in place, because even before technology came to be, like we had our own traditional inventions. Like our forefathers tried as much as possible to improvise, and they also tried as much as possible to, you know, make do, you know, with what they have in their surroundings. So the world may probably not have evolved to where it is, but I believe that there would be, you know, a slow and steady progress, and the level of advancement we have today may not be the same. Yeah, like it may just be baby steps, snail steps, you get. So I don't think so. I think the world will progress, but then the rate at which the progression will take place would be very slow, like as compared to when technology is in place. Technology has, one of the characteristics of technology is, you know, how fast-paced technology can be. Yeah, and, you know, it saves you time, it saves you, I don't think it saves you cost, but it saves you a lot of time. So I think the only thing missing would be that, in terms of time and everything, the modern technology will always have an edge. But I think our forefathers were trying. That doesn't mean that because we have these modern technologies, like it doesn't even mean that they were not doing their best. Like sometimes when my mom tells me stories about the things, some of the inventions, there are a lot of things that are not in our history books because they were omitted. But I think we have like interesting facts about what our forefathers did in the past, or what they were trying to do for themselves with what they had in their environment at that particular point in time, you get. So yeah. So the second question says, what is true friendship like to you? I don't have much experience in a friendship, because to be honest, I don't even have much friends. Yeah, but I think at different stages in life, like you get to meet people, and your the characteristics, the type of friendship, that the characteristics changes often. So when I was in grade 10, grade 11 and grade 12, I used to want friends who could, you know, who could watch out for me basically when I was in boarding school. And, you know, I wanted a friend who really genuinely cared for me, who watched out for me, who was like, who should have been like a sister to me, you get. But then people evolve. Like sometimes as you grow older, you begin to want certain things and you have certain demands from friendship. So for me, I think friendship should, for me, true friendship should consist of loyalty. Yeah, loyalty is very important. Loyalty is key. I feel like these days people are ready to, you know, people don't want to be in your corner anymore. I don't know why this is so, but sometimes the stories I hear on social media where you have friends backstabbing each other, I don't think that's loyalty. I think true friendship for me should be someone who is loyal and somebody who genuinely wants to be in a friendship with me. And another thing should be somebody who compliments me, because that's like something people overlook a lot of times in friendship. Friendship is actually a big deal. Friendship should be a big deal. I think the way people take relationships serious should be the same way people take friendship serious. Like, friendship should be a big deal, you get. So if I'm looking for somebody, I'm looking for somebody who is going to compliment me. I don't want somebody who would come and then we'll be having personality clash. Nah, I want somebody who understands me to a certain degree. I want somebody who is like-minded like me. Somebody who our goals can align. Like, I think now I'm beginning to sound very demanding, but I think friendship should consist of loyalty, somebody who cares, somebody who's genuine, and somebody who compliments me. So yeah. So the number three question says, how do you explain consciousness? Consciousness. I think consciousness should be from the word conscious. So consciousness is like the state of being conscious. I think consciousness is when you are aware of your presence, when you are aware of your surroundings, your environments, you know, your thoughts. I think consciousness is when you are, it has to do with like your feelings, when you are in your senses, when you have your mind intact. Like when you're fully aware of yourself. Yeah, when you're fully aware of yourself. So the number fourth question says, what is more important, the human body or the human mind? This one is quite tricky. Now this question, I don't know what in what context we are, you know, relating this question to, but I think for me it will always be the human mind. There's something intriguing about the human mind, and when I get to meet people, I'm just genuinely interested in what they have upstairs. I'm very, very much interested in what in the type of person that they are. What get me attracted to people is not the body. Yeah, I think right from when I was like 16, when I was on the road to self-discovery, I realized that I was very, very much attracted to personality. Like, for me, it has never been about the look. It has never been about the body. Oh, you have a fine ass. Oh, you have this. Like, for me, that has never been the case. That has never been the case. And maybe that's the reason why sometimes when people ask me, what's your type? When people ask me, oh, what do you watch out for? Like, sometimes my list consists of the human mind, is about your personality. What are you bringing to the table? I'm not asking you to bring a fine leg to the table. Like, it's just something that, you know, subconsciously I've learned. Yeah, I'm very much attracted. There are people that, looking back, there are people that I was really, really attracted to, you know, their personality. Like, when you look at them, like, to some people, they don't look physically attractive. Like, they don't look like, oh, this is somebody I want to be with. But I've just been intrigued by what they have upstairs, and, you know, I've been fascinated by their personality. So for me, I think what is most important is the human mind. The human mind is very powerful. Yes. And I love to, you know, encounter people just to see what they have. Everybody is unique. So when I meet people, I always like to try to align with them, try to understand them, try to understand who they are. And it is really fascinating because when you really deep it, like, God is really amazing. Like, God is amazing. The fifth question says, why do people do things which they know are wrong? I think people do things which they know they are wrong. Sometimes it could be impulsively. People do things impulsively, like unexpectedly. And then sometimes people just do things because sometimes People just want to do it. And sometimes you can't even control yourself. I think this thing goes beyond the human control sometimes. If you don't, there's a certain level of control that you need to be operating on. Sometimes people don't even have that self-control. Like, people break the law for their own convenience. You understand? Like, why do people do things when they know they're wrong? Sometimes that thing that they're about to do that they know is wrong, like, will it be convenient to them? Will it favor them? So that's the question you need to ask. And sometimes, do they do it impulsively? You understand? So, these are like the only reasons I can think of. So, number six question: do you believe the way we dress affects the way we think? No. Nope. 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 I don't agree. The way we dress does not affect the way we think. A human being is composed of much more than how they dress. Yes. The way we dress does not affect the way we think. Because I've met different people, you know, in life, and I can tell you for sure that the way people dress does not affect the way they think at all. At all. Now, breaking this down might be complicated, like, might be really complex for me, but I don't think so. Nah. You meet people who are suited up, you meet people who are dressed in their best attires, but bruh, when you listen to them, when you hear them speak, you'd want to vomit. And then you meet people, I've met people who go against societal norms, and when you see them, they're usually tagged the black sheep of the society. And when I have conversations with them, I'm left in awe, because I'm like, wow, they're usually intelligent. Like, I've learned how to not judge people by the way they dress. And I've also learned to understand that sometimes people are beyond how they dress. Sometimes the human being is beyond how he or she dresses. Like, life is really beyond that, and you shouldn't try to classify people just by the way they dress. Because sometimes when you see people and they dress a certain way, you tend to want to judge them according to the societal stereotypes. So I don't do that anymore, and I've been very intentional about it. So I think it takes a lot of societal conditioning. That's why these days people are being misjudged, and some people don't even look past how they dress. Some people don't try to understand people from a deeper sense. They just look at you and they just judge you, you know. And that is it. So the number seventh question: who do you consider as family? I consider anyone who has been very active in my life as family. I consider anyone who has been good, who has been there for me, who has, you know, seen me through different stages in life. I consider them my family. I have people who I don't even take them as people that I know. They're like my family because of the things that they have done for me. Family should not only be blood related. That's what I think. Family has to do with a lot. Sometimes family is the way people are towards you. Family is how people have treated you in the past. So I have this classmate in school. We are really cool, and when we just started, like, I didn't really get the chance to get to know her. I used to see her in class, and we just say hi, and that was it. And then there was this particular day that she called me aside, and she wanted us to have like this nice conversation. Like, she just wanted to get to know me. And in the process, I discovered that she's actually a nice person. Like, and in that instance, we became very good friends. We became really tight, really close. I can tell you that she's not related to me in any way, but she's family, because in the years that I have known her, she has treated me better. She has treated me far better than the way some family members have treated me. Do you understand? So she's family to me. She has been very receptive. Her family has welcomed me. They've taken me as a member of their family. And to me, like, that felt very nice. That also, you know, introduced me to some perspectives in life. Sometimes when people like you, when people are rooting for you, you don't have to be blood. Like, they just want to see you win. Yeah, so sometimes family is not by blood. Yeah, family is how they've contributed to your growth. And that's beautiful. So the number 8 question says, what role does family play in your life? My family play a very important role in my life. I won't lie. I think the reason why I'm this way today is because of my family. The reason why I have a roof over my head is because of my family. My family is very important to me. Very, very important to me. They have contributed so much to my growth. I come from a nuclear family of 6, and I am the first daughter. And thinking about it, my family is like all I have in this world. Yes, my family is all I have in this world. I don't think I can do anything without my family. My family is very important to me. Yeah. My family has really been there for me mentally. They've been there. They've paid for my therapy sections. They've shown me how much love, how much care. They've shown me that I'm a very, very, you know, important figure in the house, and they've really, really cared for me. So my family is very important financially. my family is like all I have. My family is all I have. If I begin to talk about them, I don't think I would exhaust this conversation, but my family is very important in my life. I love them so much. No family is perfect, but the truth is that I have a very beautiful family, and I've had people around me tell me that you have a really beautiful family because of how supportive, how kind, how nice my family is. I think my family is one of those modern families where they're not conservative. They don't judge you. So yeah, my family is very important. Very, very important. I have my confidence today because of my family. There are a lot of, when you begin to trace a lot of things, you discover that the root is from my family. Like, and I cannot even undermine their importance. They play a very important role in my life. So yeah, that's that. Then the number 9 question says, how often do you set goals for yourself? How often do I set goals for myself? I think I set goals for myself very often, like almost every day. I'm a very organized person. So sometimes when I don't set goals for myself, I feel like my life will be directionless. Do you understand? When I don't have like defined goals, like defined tasks, like these are things that you need to do, I feel very purposeless. So I set goals almost every day. Now goals could be short term or they could be long term. So it depends on the category that they fall under. Yeah. So goals are like, they're like an everyday thing. I don't think anybody, if you don't set goals, then that means you're not keeping track. You're not being intentional about your growth. But I think goals, I set them every day. Yes, I set them every day. Like if you have short-term goals could be, oh, tomorrow I want to go to the bank. I want to fix this issue, or I want to do this. That's like a goal. That's something that you set out to accomplish. So you've placed yourself on, you know, on a timeline. You've told yourself, okay, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. So yeah, so it depends. And then you have long-term goals. My long-term goal this year, at the beginning of this year, I told myself by the end of this year I should be a UX designer. You get, and it is July and I'm so happy, because, and again, setting goals for yourself, like, it keeps you in check. It keeps you in check, especially if you are the type of person that you keep track of the things you do. You keep track of how close you are to attaining that goal. So now when you set goals, you set realistic goals. You get, I think there was something that happened earlier this year that really taught me that sometimes don't set unrealistic goals, because when you set unrealistic goals for yourself, you're having unrealistic expectations. And what happens? You become frustrated, because when 2 and 2 is not coming together to become 4, it becomes a problem. You understand? Earlier this year, I told myself I was going to be a UX designer. By September, I should be a product designer. I should be working on a lot of projects. But what happened? I entered into the course, like, I started the course, and I figured out that this is not just something you rush in and you rush out, or it's not something you tell yourself, okay, well, in 6 months. Don't set a timeline. You set a timeline, but then you need to be very realistic with what you're doing. I figured out that this thing is actually a big deal. If you really want to do something, then this is how it will happen. Like, this is the kind of progression that will take place. And when you understand yourself, and you understand that, okay, this one has to be like this, like, and you try to work towards them, try to attain them, or you'll be getting your goals accomplished. At the end of the day, what matters is that those goals are accomplished. You understand? And it makes you a better person, and you learn from whatever it is. So yeah, so I set goals for myself every day. Like, tomorrow I have things that I need to do, and by the end of tomorrow I would hold myself accountable and tell myself, you know what, did I do these things? Did I accomplish my goals? So yeah. So number 10 question says, if you won a lottery, would you keep working in your current position? Nah. No. Why? If I won a lottery, I don't care how much it is, although it should be a big amount, but if I won a lottery, I wouldn't, because where I am currently is not where I want to be. You understand? So the lottery, what I won, the lottery should be capable of taking me to where I want to be. So maybe the lottery will set me up for life. You don't know. Maybe the lottery will help me, you know, will be a stepping stone into achieving, you know, my goals and then my aspirations. So yeah, so if I won a lottery, I'm never going to keep working in I won't. Let's say we're talking about $100,000. Nah, this one is not, I don't think this one should even be a question. Like, the response is this one. So let's go to number 11. The number 11 question says, how would you behave if you were the best in the world at what you do? How would I behave? Now, let's not lie. See, guys, you know that feeling of when you feel like you're very good at something? Let's not lie. Let's not try to be, let's not try this, oh, I'm a humble person. Let's not bring that. But let me tell you something, there's this inbuilt feeling. I think it is default, like, it just happens. Then there's this feeling when you know that you are good, like, you are good in what you do. Now imagine if you are the best. I know I can't speak for everybody, but speaking for myself, I remember times in class when I'd answer questions, like, the lecturer would be hyping me up, and I used to feel this joy. Like, there's this joy within me. Like, I feel this thing. It's just like, I don't know, but I don't want to say it's But then, like, I feel this, there's this joy within me that, oh, you know this thing, like, oh, you're good, like, oh, you feel very special. So if I was the best in the world, honey, I think I wouldn't be proud, but I'll hold my head high, you know. I'll feel blessed. Like, I feel like it is a privilege for this world to have me. It's really a privilege because I'm the best. I'm really the best. I'll be impactful, but it'll never leave my head, the fact that I am the best. Like, I would always have my head above my shoulders. Or how do people say that? Like, you know, like, you know, okay, in Nigeria we say, like, yeah, like, there's this shoulder pad or something. Like, when somebody say, ah, you they get shoulder pad. I'm speaking Pidgin English, by the way, so, and it means you're feeling kind of like pompous. Okay, I think pompous is like too extreme, but I'd like be very proud of myself. Also, I'll be very proud. I'd also be thankful to God, because it is only God that can make that possible. Get, I'm actually planning to be the best in what I do. Like, it's one of the plans that I have for myself. So, if I was the best, you guys, you already know what I'll do. How do you treat people who can do nothing for you? I treat people who can do nothing for me with respect. I treat people who can do nothing for me with love. I feel like everybody deserves respect. And when you meet people, irrespective of what they are, irrespective of what they do, you should respect them. You should really respect them regardless, even though you feel like there's nothing they can do for you, they have nothing to offer you. You definitely should respect people. I'm such a firm believer of respect. I believe even a little kid deserves respect. Even a beggar deserves respect. A homeless person deserves respect. So I treat people the way I should treat every human. I believe that we are all human and we all have the same privilege because we are human. Regardless of our status, regardless of anything in the society, we are human. Yeah, so let's go to number 12. Number 12 says, What or who lights me up? Okay, I really love chocolate so much. And I think when people buy me chocolate, it elevates my mood. It makes me feel very special. It makes me feel very happy. And if you're saying who or what lights me up, currently no one, as in a human being, no one lights me up. But one thing that lights me up is the fact that chocolate exists, you know, in this world, and we have access to chocolate. And yeah, for now, only chocolate. So yeah, so let's go to the next question. It says, number 13, by the way, says, do you work to live or live to work? I live to work. I don't work to live. If I quit my job today, I'll be solid. Yeah, I don't work to live. Like, my life doesn't revolve around my job. My job is an aspect of my life. Yeah, my job is an aspect of my life. And yeah, I don't work to live, and I don't intend to work to live, because I think that's the most saddest thing on this earth, and that's actually the most wicked thing that you can do to yourself in this world. I know some people don't have a choice. Some people have to work to live. Like, some people live from paycheck to paycheck. I understand that, man. Like, this is why I hate capitalism so much. People are really in a messy situation. People can't do what they want to do. People don't have that freedom, you know, the liberty to do what they want to do, because you are one step away from being homeless, or you're one step away from being a person with needs, and we all have needs, by the way. But I think at the end of the day, like, your life shouldn't revolve around your job. So growing up, I've always had it at the back of my mind that whatever I'm doing, my life would always come first. This life that I'm living is just once. Every one of us have one, you know, one life to live. Like, it's YOLO. And I believe we should, you know, create time. It's never a good idea to work to live. I know, and some people are just stuck up in this situation. Like, they don't know what to do. Like, they don't know how to navigate. But I think there's always a way. There's always a way. But me, I live to work. I'm sorry. I live to work. So let's move on. The number 14th question says, what's something you'd want to achieve before you die? What's something I would love to achieve before I die? This one is going to take a while. I'd actually need some time to think about this, because I don't know. What's something you want to achieve before you die? Okay, so I'll just say the thing that's coming to my head. So that would be going to Greece. That would be going to Greece. By the way, Greece is my, you know, vacation destination. Greece is somewhere that I want to be. I want to be at Greece. I love the whole aesthetics, and I love everything about the country. Like, the aesthetics is really giving. So I would want to, before I die, I would want to visit Greece. And another thing, yes, I just remembered, I would want to visit the safaris in Kenya. I watch Nature Ride a lot. Like, I'm a big fan of Nature Ride. So I used to always tell my sisters that, man, in the next 5 years, I want to save up. I want to go to the safaris. I want to see a lion. Like, I want to physically see a lion. I want to see beautiful animals. I really love animals, wild animals. Like, I keep telling my sisters, oh, I'm going to save enough money. I'm just going to go to see these beautiful animals. Like, before I die, I need to see the wild animals that God, you know, God blessed us with, because we are sharing a space with them. Even though they are in the wild, I want to see them. So yeah, that's another thing, I guess. So those are the only two things that I think I should achieve before I die. I think Greece is, like, simple. It's not going to be so hard, because you can just save up. But the safaris, please, before the animals will go into extinction, because but the stories I hear, and, you know, the recent broadcast, this human beings can be very, very vile. And before we send these animals into extinction, I would like to just see them. Yeah, I'm always thankful to God for giving us that privilege to share the same space with these people, you know, these animals. So I would love to, like, have an encounter with them, just see what they are like in their natural habitat. So yeah. So the number 15th question says, one thing you cannot live without. One thing I can't live without. Wow. This one is going to be hard. One thing I can't live without. Honestly, I don't know. I think I can't live without chocolate. I think it's only chocolate that's coming to my head. I think I can't live without chocolate. And another thing that I can't live without, I don't know. And I can't live without myself. I can't live without myself. So let's just move on. Number 16 question says, when do you think it's acceptable to disobey the law? I think it's acceptable to disobey the law when you're in danger. If you're in danger, then by all means, disobey the law. If you're in a danger that requires you to disobey the law, please disobey the law. Yes, disobey the law. Or it is also acceptable when that law, that particular law, is not applicable in that situation, you understand? Okay, like I was having this conversation with my dad the other day, and we were coming back from where we went to, and that was like around past 8 p.m. in the evening. So we got to the traffic point and there was no traffic, so we were the only one, and we were observing, you know, we're observing the traffic lights, and we saw cars like moving past us because there's no car. Like, that was very late. Why should you be observing traffic law? Like, there are no cars on the way to, you know, there's no need. And my dad asked me, do you think we should have just, you know, should have not observed the traffic light? And I was like, well, sometimes you need to, you know, you need to just disobey the law if at that point in time it's not applicable. I was telling my dad, if it was 4 a.m. in the morning, you don't expect us to be observing traffic light just because there's a traffic light. Like, observing traffic lights can, you know, bring danger, can cause danger to happen. So, like, it's not necessary. Like, it's not necessary, you get. So there are some situations whereby you should disobey the law because it is not applicable. Like, it is not necessary. It doesn't make sense at that point in time. And also, if you're in a danger that requires you to break the law, please, by all means, just do that. So let's head to number 17th question. 5 most beautiful things in the world to you and why. Oh God. The 5 most beautiful things in the world to me. Okay, the first one would be the 5 most beautiful things would be wild animals. Yeah, like, I really love wild animals. I'm not going to lie, like, I am very fascinated by them. Yeah, sometimes I wish I was in the body of a lion. Like, top secret, guys. But yeah, like, I really love the wild animals. Sometimes watching it, just, you know what, I think there are some things that happen to you and they're like, wow, like, you're amazed. When I watch Nadja Wide, it sent me to a state of gratitude, I'm not going to lie, because every time I watch it, like, I'm always intrigued. Like, I'm always asking God, like, what else, like, how big are you, like, how great are you, like, you actually made these things. Like, I'm always really grateful. Like, it just brings me closer to God. Like, you really created these things. Like, what were you thinking? Like, I try to have this intimacy with God and I'm like, what were you thinking? Why? How? You understand? So I think wild animals. The second one would be nature. I'm such a big fan of nature. I really love nature. Anything that has to do with nature. I feel like gradually, like, the world is losing, we are losing the natural habitations that we have. So I love nature so much, and there's just, like, I can't even say why, but I just love nature. The third thing would be, I think, the beach. And I think that also falls under nature, if I'm not wrong. But let me just say it, the beach. I love the beach. The beach gives me peace of mind. The beach is a place where you unwind. The beach is a place where it gives you this, there's this peace within you. It gives you peace. I love the beach so much. Sometimes I wish I could live by the beach all my life. Like, I know it might be boring, but there's just this peace and tranquility that the beach brings to you. And I want to have that feel. So the fourth thing the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Rome, Italy. Yeah, that cathedral, I feel like that's also one of the places that I want to explore in this world. I want to also visit there one day, because I feel like when you enter there, like, you feel like you're in heaven. It's so beautiful. Like, that place is really beautiful from the pictures. Like, you can tell that when you enter that place, it takes you to another part. Like, you like, it is so beautiful. I don't even know how to explain, but that place is really, really beautiful. It's really beautiful. So, I'm a Catholic, by the way. Maybe that's why I have this interconnectedness with the cathedral, but I feel like going there just takes you closer to God. It brings God to you. When you enter there, like, you feel like you're in heaven. So the fifth one, most beautiful things, the fifth one, honestly, I don't know, I can't think of anyone currently, so we'll just move along. So I've stated four, I've tried. Let's just move along. So number 19th question says, would you trust anybody with your life? I think I'll trust my mom. I'll trust my dad as well with my life. I feel like the only person that is incapable of betraying me is my mom. Yeah. Maybe because I've gone through so much in life and I've seen my mom stand by me. I've seen her do things. Like, I've seen her go beyond her capacity. Like, my mom can go to the end of the earth just for me, just for any of her children. I've seen my mom, like, almost beg God to take her life just because one of her child was ill. You get? So I feel like the only person I would trust in my life, in this my life, would be my dad and my mom, my parents. They're the only ones I can trust with my life. I don't care. I'll trust them 100%. So number 20 question says, do you believe in true love? Do I believe in true love? Ha. Well, okay. I think I do. Maybe because I've seen my parents. I've witnessed true love. And, you know, I am also a product of true love. So, I believe in true love. I believe in true love. Have I experienced it? I think I have in the past, but that was once. But I was still very young. I think that was like my first, you know. And that was the only time. And I didn't even realize what that was. I think just thinking about it, as I grew older, like, I began to think about it and I realized that, oh shit, that was true love. So I very much believe in true love. Yeah, I really believe in it. And, you know, I'm also hoping that I would have that again someday. It's scary, like, the way the world works now, like, the way things are going in this world, like, everything is really scary, guys. Everything is so scary. I don't know. Will that be impossible? No. True love can still be possible, but the probability of that happening, I won't lie, like, the chances of finding true love again on this earth, I'm just going to be very optimistic. Let me just be optimistic. And I believe that what is for me will definitely come to me. You don't have to force it, honey. So the next question, number 21, says, what is something you're certain you'll never experience? What is something that I'm certain I'll never experience? I don't know. Thinking of it. Honestly, I don't know. Nah, I can't think of anything. I don't know. So let's just move on to the next one. The number 22nd question says, how would your perfect partner treat you? My perfect partner, first of all, I don't think there's a perfect partner out there, you know. But then I think, treat me with love, treat me with respect, you know. bring commitment. I love intentional love. As I grow older, like, the things that I watch out for, it keeps changing. Like, everything keeps evolving. So I think I want somebody who understands me. I want somebody who is my person. I want a partner who is my person. I want somebody who is there for me. I want somebody who is unique, like who has been made for me. Honestly, I don't want somebody who doesn't compliment me. I want you to understand me. This life is tough. I feel like there's so much that is going on. The last thing I want is somebody that will come and stress me. You know, I don't want that. I want somebody who is perfect for me. I want the person that God is bringing for me. I want somebody who is made in the image and in the likeness of God. I want somebody who likes me. I want somebody who genuinely cares about me. I want somebody who is a good person. The worst thing that can ever happen to you in this life is meeting somebody that is not a nice person or that is not a good person. See, if you don't have that in you, if you don't have these characteristics in you as a person, not even as a partner, if you don't have that characteristics of being nice, of being good, of treating people well, you cannot succeed in any relationship. Yeah. If you're not a good person, you're not a good person. So I don't want people who, because I feel like I'm a really nice person and, you know, I know what I bring to the table. So I don't want somebody who will come and stress my life. I don't believe in tough love. I also don't believe in tough love. And I don't believe in building with a man. I'm not Bob the Builder. I'm sorry. So we can be building, you know, as individuals and come together and, you know, mash up our buildings. but that tough love, you see that tough love, like, I feel like in our society, like, people are trying to project that tough love. Like, if you've not suffered with a man, if you've not done this thing with a man, like, nah, like, that narrative will not fly here. It won't fly. I'm sorry. It won't fly. So let's go to the number 23rd question. It says, what's something you are embarrassed you're so good at? Well, that's something I'm embarrassed I'm so good at. I think I'm so good. I'm embarrassed that I'm so good at having conversations with myself. Like, I talk to myself a lot. Sometimes you think I'm a mad person. Yes. Sometimes when I'm in the kitchen, like, I talk to my imaginary fans or, you know, my viewers or whatever. Like, I do these things a lot, and I used to think that I was abnormal. I thought I had mental issues growing up, because you'd see me and I would always talk to myself. Like, I have dialogues in my head. That's how bad it is. I create scenarios and I have dialogue in my head and nice conversations, like, oh, what's up, like, why is this thing happening, and then you have the other person responding. I'm embarrassed that I'm so good at it. I'm embarrassed that I'm so good at it. But yeah, that's, I think I think people can relate to this one, because recently on social media, somebody was saying something, like, somebody was in these same shoes, and I was like, oh, so I'm not the only person. That means it's likely that I am a normal person. I think that I was mad, honestly. Like, it was a thing of concern. I tried as much as possible to hide it away from my family, because I don't want them thinking, oh, this girl, or, you know, they'll start getting worked up because of something like that. So I used to really hide it. But I'm so good at starting and ending a conversation in my head. Like, I create a narrative and I just push that narrative, and yeah, that is it. So, but I'm embarrassed, because even sometimes I now even do it subconsciously. Like, that's why most times when I'm going on the road, I have my AirPods on, because I'll be talking to myself, and if I'm not with my AirPods, people will be thinking that, you know, I'm hallucinating or something. So I like to put my AirPods on, so when people see me, or my hands free, so when people see me, they'll be like, oh, she's actually, maybe she's talking to somebody. And I do it subconsciously these days. I know it's like a problem. I'm not mad, guys. I'm not mad. I know I'm not mad. But yeah, I think that is it. So the number 24th question says, if you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say? I think I would ask everyone to show more love and compassion. Just show more love and compassion. The world will thrive when there's love and compassion. But until then, let's keep doing whatever we like. Yeah, if I had like the world's attention for 30 seconds, I'll just tell them, show more love and compassion, or be good to people, be good to each other. It doesn't cost much. It doesn't cost much at all. There are a lot of things that I see on social media that are really sickening. Like, and I'm like, why can't you people show love? Why can't you people show compassion? Like, I know everybody cannot be the same, but God, especially in our country, Nigeria, like, God. Do you know how many times I exclaim God in a day? I bet I say that more than 50 times a day. The things that are really happening these days, it's God that will help us. But yeah, but in this podcast, let's learn how to love each other. Let's learn how to show love. Let's learn how to show compassion. Show compassion to your neighbor. Be good to people. It doesn't cost much. It doesn't take away who you are. You know. Let's just do this. So let's move on. Number 25th question. Man, we're finally getting to the end of this. Wow. If you could speak one word, what would you say? This is the number 25th question. If I could speak one word, what would I say? I don't know. I'll probably turn to my neighbor and say, I love you. Yeah. Is that even a word? Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. Wow. So we are almost getting to the end of this. So this is the last question. And it says, is there an app you hate but still use? Yes, 100%. Yes, I hate Instagram. Yes, I hate Instagram so much, but I still use it. That's how bad it is. I've never liked Instagram. And that's why I don't take it serious. Although I have to use Instagram because of work. And I have to use Instagram because as much as I hate that app, it has also been of great benefits to me, but I hate the app so much. In short, there's this new update. I don't know if I'm the only one who is seeing this thing, but Instagram is slowly becoming TikTok. I'm not even on TikTok. Even though I'm opening an account soon, I don't even understand how TikTok works, but these days, like when you go on Instagram, it feels like you're on TikTok, because I've downloaded TikTok before and I didn't really understand how that app worked. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've downloaded TikTok 3 times. And guys, I know I'm not proud to say this, but I think I don't know how to use TikTok. Like, I don't know how to navigate the app. The user interface is complicated to me. I feel like it's complicated to me. I'm speaking from a UX point of view. It's very complicated to me. You get. The other day, I think I posted it on my Facebook asking people how they navigate TikTok, because I don't seem to get it. And people sent me a bunch of tutorials, and I'm grateful for that, because I think I've learned some things already. But Instagram feels like TikTok to me. Like, every time, we are always seeing reels. And again, like, I go on Instagram sometimes to just see my friends. Like, I want to see beautiful pictures of my friends. You know, Instagram is about nice pictures, the aesthetics and everything. But these days, it's slowly becoming something else. It's like Instagram these days is only for content creators, popular influencers. Yes. Because every time I'm only seeing five people on my timeline. I'm seeing content from five people on my timeline. Like, why? I'm supposed to be seeing my friend who is posting from Germany. I'm supposed to be seeing my friend who is posting from Abuja. You know, I want to see my friends. I'm not interested in seeing content creators. If I wanted to see content creators, I would follow them. Sometimes, if you're getting posts from people that you don't even know. Why? Like, why is that happening? You're getting posts. Like, I feel they've destroyed, like, Mark has destroyed Instagram. Instagram is no longer the same. It's not. I used to hate Instagram. I joined Instagram in 2018. And I never really liked the app because, you know, every time I came on that app, like, I only saw a bunch of insecure individuals. That was how I saw Instagram as at that point in time. And it really contributed a lot to my low self-esteem at that time, because I used to come on Instagram and everything was so perfect. And I used to think that my life was worthless because you're not like these people. You take picture and it's different from what you've seen. So that was a phase anyway. So I eventually grew out of that, and, you know, I never really liked Instagram. But then, like, these days when you go on Instagram, like, I always get tired. Like, I just close the app, but I feel like I can't leave the app because I use the app work related. I use the app, and sometimes I need to get some information. You know, check out this person's post, you find it there. That's where I go to as well. And again, the news. So yeah, so I hate Instagram, but I have no choice. I still have to use it. So yeah, so we have come to the end. I really had so much fun doing this, you know. Yeah, 26 questions and I answered 26 questions. I want to thank Samo for this opportunity. I hope you guys, if you got to this stage, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you enjoy. I'm really looking forward to other people's own. Yeah, so, you know, the ones that will be uploaded. I think I've listened to the first one and I really liked it. On this 26, this series in particular, I'm such a big fan of this podcast. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really had fun, and it is always good being here. Feels so good. I feel like every time I do this, like, it gives me an opportunity to express myself. Yeah, it gives me an opportunity to express myself, and I just hope I have like-minded people who are listening to this and who can very well relate to all that I have said. So until next time, remain safe, stay guarded, and, you know, God loves you, and I'll see you when I see you. Bye.